them nights like B.I.G. is. Nice. I'm the greatest of all times. I'ma say it just like Ali did.
The champ is here. The champ is here. The champ is here.
The evil genius.
The champ is here.
Come on.
The champ is here.
Hello and welcome to episode 23 of the Match of the Week podcast here on the Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. I'm Tim, and with me, a very happy Nintendo Switch owner, Tanner. Tanner, how we doing?
I'm doing well. Welcome to week two of Nintendo Direct-related discussion.
Correct.
There will be no wrestling talked about on the podcast this week. We're done.
Yep.
No more wrestling. Pro wrestling only? Try Nintendo Switch only.
That's correct. We are talking about Super Mario Party, the new Katamari game that's coming out on Switch. Like that's the content today, folks.
Yep.
Do not
Charles has given me the okay. We have completely rebranded.
Do not be fooled by the title of this podcast or the intro music that obviously says who's on this podcast that we're talking about today.
Yeah.
Oh, Tanner, introduce us to this match because I'm as much as you love that Tenryu Onita match. I'm pretty sure this might be your favorite match of all time. I think it is. The way you talk about it, this might be your favorite match of all time.
It may be my favorite match of all time, and I was baffled that we hadn't done it yet.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we had brought it up before, but maybe we were like, oh, it's an obvious one. Let's wait, and let's establish the brand before we bring it up.
Well, it's... It is the match. Like, this is a match that it's 13 years old and it doesn't get any easier to watch, but it doesn't get any less intriguing to watch. June 11th, 2005, IWA Mid-South, Something to Prove at The Arena, also known formerly as the ECW Arena. It is Samoa Joe versus Necro Butcher.
Oh, oh my God, it's so good.
First off, IWA Mid-South did their like 18-year anniversary top 18 matches of all time, and this wasn't number one,
which is baffling. Maybe one match in IWA Mid-South's history, and I've seen a fair share that I would even put close to this match.
Yeah,
and it also involves the Necro Butcher.
Yes, and I'm pretty sure that's the low-key match.
Yes.
Or are you talking about that match? That match is legitimately insane.
Or like, the Toby Klein match.
Or the Toby Klein 2002, which is, hi, I'm going to throw a VCR at your head.
Yeah. Oh, that
in
man.
The stands. Oh, my God.
Let's just become a Necro Butcher podcast.
That's what we might. We just might do nothing but Necro Butcher podcast. Look, like this match, it's famous. It's infamous. It is kind of almost uncomfortably they're like, if you're smart to wrestling, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of cooperation here.
No, it feels very unprofessional in the best way.
It feels as if there's really no awareness or regard for the people in the crowd as far as their safety is concerned. There's no safety for the other guy in the match.
No, and this is 05, and there's like grown ass dudes getting blood on them.
Yeah, look, I mean, this is so. What's really interesting about this is it's a pretty simple story. So ROH and CZW were feuding at the time. They're right in the midst of it. Joe is, of course, off his legendary ROH title run that really made him a star on the indies, and this is right before TNA swallowed him up whole. And, you know, Necro faces a couple of ROH trainees and basically, you know, quote unquote shoots on him, but really, you know, roughs him up. And Joe comes out and basically is like, yeah, you can't do that to these kids. And so Joe's like, okay, I'll play a road game and I'll go to your neck of the woods and I'll wrestle you there. And I just... Okay, we've said this before for certain matches on this podcast. It is so difficult for us to viscerally explain this match.
Like,
it is perhaps the one match out of the 23 matches we've done on here that has to be seen to believe. And I know that a lot of people have watched this. If you're listening to this podcast, there's a good chance you've watched
it. If you haven't watched it, stop the podcast right now. Go watch it. Come back.
Like, literally, just go watch it. It's 11 minutes. Better yet, go on the IWA YouTube. Watch the 30 minutes. We'll talk about why it's 30 minutes towards the end of this. But I just, my God, the fact that this match exists is a miracle.
The fact in a lot of ways that on commentary, they're like, oh yeah, Ian Rotten booked this because he saw it on some fantasy booking forum. And he was like, yeah, that sounds rad, and booked it.
I mean, also commentary team here is Dave Prazak.
Yep.
Eddie Kingston.
Yep.
CM Punk.
CM Punk. And it's such a, it's what I imagine. If you could get 2018 wrestling Twitter on commentary, this is the kind of commentary I imagine they run. Because they reference Rob Naylor no less than a dozen times.
Yeah, Rob Naylor, his legend grows by the year as part of this match. So let's at least try and kind of go through what this match is. And we do, I feel like this is a match we need to do chronologically. This is something like going back and referring stuff because, look, so this match basically starts out with the two of them potatoing each other for a minute.
Yeah. No, they throw straight up potatoes. Like, it's like, hands.
These aren't like pulled elbow shots. These are literally, I'm trying to break your jaw with my forearm shots.
Yeah.
That's essentially what this becomes.
And you immediately get the sense, like, as soon as the bell rings, like, there's already an aura with both of these guys in 05. Like, obviously, Butcher, legendary deathmatch guy, like, probably at the time, for sure, the best deathmatch guy. Yeah,
and he's ascendant into actual, like, indie stardom. Like, this is, this is basically, this is, in a lot of ways, his breakout indie, like indie dream match star match. Mm. Like, this is the match that quote unquote makes Necro Butcher.
Yeah. So like, so at the time, like, he's already he's the king of the mountain. Like, he's overtaking guys like, you know, Mondo and Wife Beater and stuff. And he's king of the death match. And then you have Joe, who's like the best wrestler in the world in 2005, bar none. I don't think it's even a debate. Like think about it. Samoa Joe wrestles Necro Butcher and then turns around a couple of months later and wrestles Kenta freaking Kobashi.
God damn it. I was going to bring that up. That's so good.
And then a couple of months after that, wrestles AJ Styles.
Turning point and probably the best TNA match ever. So
yeah. And then you, not even to mention the Unbreakable Three-Way.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Like, that all happens in 6 months.
Yeah. It's a 6 month span. And like,
God. Man. So that's how it starts, right? The potatoes, right?
Yeah,
potatoes. And so you have, basically, you kind of expected this because, you know, obviously Necro not known for pulling punches, but Joe, like, trains in jiu-jitsu, so he's not averse to trading strikes with somebody, and especially legit. Like, that's not a problem for him.
And this is athletic peak Joe.
So then he hits, okay, like, everybody does the step up in Zagiri now. This might be the most stiff step up Inzaghi I've ever seen. Like, he pays Necro with it. Like, he sells it like it's an Inzaghi, but you hear like a thud. Like, it's bad. Like, it's
a buzzsaw. Like,
yeah, it's like, okay, that's the sign of things to come, right? So he follows Necro Patters, elbow suicida. Okay, cool. Outside, what's going to happen next? Well, how about we start going into the crowd? Makes sense. It's a Necro Butcher match.
And this is a big crowd, too. It's not big like
crowd. It's ECW event. So, like, at least, I think there was 1,000 folks there. I'm pretty sure they tried to get 1,000 folks in there, which it's a filled up arena for sure.
Yeah.
So, of course, they decide to, let's start trading chops. Okay, cool. Necro Butcher, I'm going to headbutt a Samoan.
Yeah.
Okay, Joe's like, okay, I'm gonna headbutt you right on the soft part of your forehead so you start bleeding all over the place.
Yeah, and it's a loud thuds. Like, it's not like pulled headbutts. It's like I don't like I can't make a headbutt sound, but it's a headbutt sound. Trust me on this.
There's this great, it just, oh God. And so they, that the best part though, and this is where, like, this is where you start realizing this is no ordinary match.
Yeah.
Like, you see somebody bleeding from the forehead after headbutts from Samoa Joe like that, you immediately think he's just going to slump to the ground and then, like, he's dead weight. No, Necro then just starts trading shots with Joe. Like what the fuck? Like, what is this guy doing?
Yeah.
And that's when it clicks, where you're like, okay, so this is something completely different. Okay, so a couple of great, like, chair-throwing Necro spots because he's Necro Butcher, so of course he has to do it. And then the first, like the first time I remember watching this match, like, I just couldn't believe what I had just seen. They decide to do the snap power slam spot in the crowd, but Necro doesn't get full rotation on it and lands on his fucking forehead. I don't know how the match didn't end after that.
Like, it would legitimately KO any normal person.
I don't know how the match didn't end after that.
Like, looking at it,
3.5 minutes into the match, and then that happened.
Like, looking at it, it doesn't, like, it doesn't even look like Joe was going for the power slam, like, it, which kind of works into, like, the, oh, it's a shoot theory. But it looks like a Hashimoto scoop brain buster. Like, really, except on the floor for real. Like, it's the only way I can describe it. And, like, this isn't, like, saying, like, oh, Butcher's head was really close to the floor. No, like, no. His forehead plants on the concrete floor, and after they get up, you see, like, a Necro Butcher face in blood on the floor. Like, it's not a game.
All right. So that happens. Then they, you know, we'll go back towards the ring. That's great. Glad that's,
you yeah. Got to work sweet. Safe.
Got to work safe. Going back into the ring. This is where it gets a little bit fuzzy for me doing this off the top of my head. But after this, we go back into the ring, and they start trading shots again, but it's not like, it's Joe is working over Necro.
Yeah.
Like, 100% working over Necro.
Yeah. Like, Joe is clearly in the driver's seat at this point.
And then he's in the corner, and Necro blocks a charge and is able to kind of fight out, hits a forearm shot. And then Joe catches him off the ropes, kicks him to the apron.
And, like, stiff as all hell kick. It's not like, oh, I'm going to pull back because you're obviously very clearly hurt. You're bleeding a lot. It's like, no, I'm going to kick the fuck out of you. Bam. Yeah.
In the face, right?
Yeah, in the face. Like, it's a punt.
Like, in the face, right? So, to the apron we go. And then they start trading shots. And I can tell you the exact moment where Joe decided to do what he's going to do next. Necro 100% shoot punches Joe in the cheek. Like, yeah. It is a shoot. Like, later on in the replays, you can see it in the slow-mo. Like, it is a 100% legit shot.
Yep.
Then he tries it again. And so Joe's like, no. Exploder off the apron, except Butcher again does not go over for it.
Yep.
And this time, he lands on his face off the apron.
It's impressive, really. Like,
oh,
how much do you think they got paid for this match?
I don't know. I would assume Joe's mark at this point. He probably like 500. I'm guessing
500. That seems okay. Awfully high.
Maybe, I don't know. Necro didn't get more than 250.
Necro was $200 and dinner.
Yeah. The gate was good that night, though. The boys got paid.
True. So.
But that's just like, so, okay, so we already had the first forehead smashing on the concrete spot. Yeah.
Keep in mind, this is like, again, match is 11 minutes. This is like the first six. Like, Necro takes both of these shots in like 6 minutes.
I really can't even begin. And the moment he like raises up off the concrete, and you just see what this giant red smear, on the concrete where his head was.
It's like, I mean, it's gross.
It's nasty. Yeah. It is like the power slam. So that's the other thing about that spot. Like I said, I'm so glad we're going over this chronologically, because like otherwise we'd be jumping back and forth and it would be bad. But the one thing that spot tells you is that maybe the power slam spot was not an accident.
Oh, and, yeah, for sure.
And that is like, oh God, like how does somebody do that twice in the same match?
Yeah. Within like 5 minutes.
I just
of each other. No, it's,
oh my God.
Also, you have to keep in mind this is 2005, so it's before CTE existed. Nobody you could not get concussed.
It had not been invented yet. Correct.
There was no such thing as concussions until later. So like it pains me to think, like, I don't know, this is a little tangent real quick. I don't know if you know the theory about Necro Butcher winning a small fortune playing daily fantasy sports.
No, this is a thing. This is a 100% a thing.
Because I've never been able to get a 100% confirm yes on it, but I like to believe it's a true thing and he just sit at home happy now. And like, when everybody's like, man, I want Necro Butcher to wrestle again. Like, first off, let the man rest. Let him play his daily fantasy sports, his DraftKings. Just let him live his life, man. Because he went through some shit.
Yeah.
Even like in his later, I know it's a tangent off the match, but like you think like, oh, Necro Butcher slowed down with age. Dude was doing hardcore matches in Japan in like 2011.
Yeah. No, he was working Big Japan, like, death matches, like it's insane.
It working working Tanaka in 0-1.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Necro Butcher's career lasted for almost a decade after this. So, you know, that's just insane.
Yeah. Like I would have quit. Also would have never done the match to begin with.
Exactly. So of course, because he got up after the power slam and decided to try and fight Joe off again, he gets up after this.
he really is like a drunk buddy that's like, nah, I'm not done. I'm going to beat this dude up. And the guy's like just sober. Like Joe is the sober guy. Butcher is clearly drunk.
Yeah. Joe's the guy who said, okay, I'll fight him.
Yeah.
But
I won't like it.
I won't like it, but I'll fight him. And then so Necro gains control. And then introduces the guardrail back into the ring. Does this freak? He slams it on Joe, no give.
Oh yeah, it's like a full steel guardrail.
Just slams it. Then does a senton onto it and Joe. And then Joe, you know, gets back into it, goes back on offense, sets up the guardrail in the corner. Power bombs Necro onto the guardrail, which, okay, if we're ranking the safety of those three spots, how does power bombing on the guardrail land number one on the safest of those three spots?
Like it's absurd. How? Really? Considering considering what like regular apron power or what regular corner power bombs like can provide, like put in, like when we say no give, it's not like Butcher got power bombed onto this and it bent. No, like it's still perfectly intact guardrail.
He bounced off of it. Yeah. He literally bounces off of it. And so of course, then we get to the stretch run, which Joe he tries to put Necro away. Butcher somehow, some way, fights back and starts just laying into Joe with those like the combination blows to the body and the head. And Joe is absorbing all of this. Yeah,
there's about an 8 second span. Necro Butcher is the best boxer in the world.
Yeah. Like, like he's freaking 84 Sugar Ray Leonard or something. And then Joe just is like, nah, screw this. And hauls off and just open hands Necro in like the, oh my God. Like people don't like, we love Oney Lorcan. Oney Lorcan. I don't, we wouldn't say friend of the podcast, but friend of the podcast.
Oney Lorcan, friend of the podcast.
Literally like his signature spot is to grab a guy by the jaw and open hand him across the ear. Like that's his transition spot. That's his hot tag spot. Joe here looks like he's literally trying to knock out Necro open handed.
Yeah.
And the 10 minutes of blood and sweat that just comes off Necro's face with every slap that Joe throws his way. Like halfway through this, you expect the blood that was on Necro's face to be not be there anymore. Like you expect him to be just clean after this. Like that's how hard he's being slapped. Yeah. And then he hunches over and Joe just starts hauling off knees to the face. And they are not, they're like, they are snug, if not just full on just shoot.
Yeah. Like and, this is,
oh my
they're
God.
Probably the safest strikes of the match. Cause I think Joe was like, okay, I want to hold back a little, but they're very snug knees where maybe not like 100% power, but kneeing a dude in the face.
And then my favorite part about that also, because we're doing this chronologically, is once he knows he's knocked him down, he just basically just points. Like he just like points down at Necro and he's like, he basically like count him out, ref. Like there's no way he's getting up from that. But this is Necro Butcher we're talking about. So he starts getting up. And so what does Joe do? Literally sizes him up and kicks him right in the temple.
Yep.
And this is probably the part of the match that I'm still a little bit like I'm not sure about. I'm not sure if he's selling or not, but he convulses a little bit after he takes the shot. And then the ref starts his count and Necro can't answer the 10 count. And Joe wins by knockout. It's 11 minutes. It is perhaps bell to bell, the most violent match that isn't quote unquote a death match that you'll ever see.
Yeah,
and
I agree with that.
I don't think there's a part about that match that's supposed to make you feel comfortable you're watching.
No.
It, which is like, that's for a lot of people who are wrestling fans, that might be a hard pass. But like, oh man, if you buy into these guys and their auras like we both do, there's probably no other wrestling experience you'll ever have like this.
Like ever. There was a time where before the Gage Tremont trilogy that I would say that this was by far the most gruesome match and probably to, especially this century to take place in America. Right. And the only things I would put even close to this are the Gage Tremont trilogy. And even then it's a hard sell. And considering that this isn't advertised as a death match, I don't even know if this is advertised as no rules. This is just advertised as a one-on-one match.
I think they said it was under Necro Butcher, whatever rules at that time or something like that. Yeah.
So it's essentially just a no DQ match. And it's God, like I don't know. I don't think any death match wrestler ever has successfully transitioned to be this big legitimate threat to big name wrestlers. Literally the only guy I can think. I mean, because even Onita wasn't doing like regular matches out there. So like the only guy I can think of is like Shuji Ishikawa that even comes close.
Yeah.
To like a legitimate threat outside of death matches.
Yeah.
Because I mean, Gage, like he still does death matches pretty regularly.
I guess Hanma. Hanma's another guy that was like that. But yeah, like it's just look. So there's three matches I think kind of stick out in people's head when they talk about Necro Butcher as like the Necro Butcher matches. They're all against three different people too. It's this match, which everybody talks about. There's the low key match, which if you thought that this was unprofessional, boy, do we have a match for
and
you.
And that match is long. It's like a very long version of this.
Yeah. And then there is the match that I had watched it for the first time a couple of years ago because Saguna Kaida, who I helped write some stuff over there with Eric and the gang, they reviewed the Super Dragon Best of Los Angeles Necro Butcher
match. Oh, yeah.
Which was not a bloody death match, but an out of control brawl. Like the most crazy out of control shit you'll ever
probably
see.
Probably the best. It's Guerrilla Warfare, right? Do they say it's?
I want to say they did. I want to say that it was Guerrilla Warfare. I'm pretty sure
it's either Guerrilla Warfare or No DQ. I can't remember which. Right. But it's like the best match of that style in PWG ever, like bar none.
And it has the most sick finish. And I won't spoil it. That finish
you
is
need
just
to watch.
God,
Butcher has like such a random run against so many guys. Like there's a Bryan Danielson match from PWG that's like, awesome. Like if it's like a bit of a lighter version of the Joe match, and it's really good. Butcher is such a just so lucky to have a Necro Butcher grace professional wrestling.
Yeah, and I remember when he was ascendant around this time. Like this was, I was 21. This was pre-Twitter, peak message board, essentially, or right around peak message board. And this match happened, and people lost their shit.
Oh yeah,
like right, Naylor. Rob Naylor, of course, was called out like half a dozen times in this match. And with good reason, because he was a part of this, this group of IWA, ROH, JPW. He was one of the guys who was around all this at the time. And he was the guy who was probably the loudest cheerleader for it. But man, when he talked about this match, just on message boards or on DVD-VR, just, oh my God, just that match was, it was just like you had to see it. Like there was no other way about it. Like this was a match that no matter who you were, you had to see it because even if you heard what was in it, you couldn't really
believe it. Like it sounds super cliche, but it's totally true.
And now, over a decade later, especially where Joe is now, Joe, of course, his 2005 is insane. We talked about it, especially what happens after this match. The 6 months run that he has from this until the end of the year is one of the great runs that anybody in the United States had that decade, maybe in this century.
Yeah.
And even now, I really wish, especially now that he's been exposed to WWE and past TNA and all that stuff. I really wish somebody would do like an oral history or like a sit down interview with the people involved in this, because this is, I think, the one match out of the US indie boom period, basically 2000s on, that I think has the biggest cult status still attached to it.
I would 100% agree with that.
And it is a match that I think, especially now, is I think it's probably more infamous than famous, but I really cannot underscore like how much this match's legend has just grown and grown the further away we get
from
it. Because there will never be another match like it. And on top of that, you're never going to have a match that two people decide to put on like this ever again. Obviously, for good reason.
Yeah.
But man, this just seems like one of those things that if, you know, we don't show people this match because we're wrestling fans. No. I mean, maybe, depending on who your friend is, but this seems like a match that there's the lore of professional wrestling. When it comes to indie matches, this is still probably the first one I think of, without a doubt.
When I'm around, because I have a lot of non-wrestling friends, and when they're like, hey, like what, in the off chance, they're like, hey, what's a match? Like, let's sit down and watch a match. I'm like, okay, I throw on Butcher Joe. It's my go-to. Which, because yes, it is like ridiculously violent, but at the same time, it's such a visceral experience that and can be enjoyed in a bubble as well as with the, you know, with context. I can't think of anything better. Like, I honestly can't. It's short, it's sweet, it's violent. Like, what is there not to love about it, really? And it, I truly think in. It may be the best match in the United States of the 2000s, like bar none. I don't know what I would put up there with it. I honestly, especially in the US, it's a top five worldwide of the decade. And like, if Kobashi doesn't have that ridiculous run in the 2000s, it's probably number one, but it's insanity. And the fact that Joe goes on to have this just historic run the last 6 months of 05. You know, Butcher pretty much becomes this dream match opponent for a bunch of these non-deathmatch guys.
Yeah. It's like everybody else on the indies. That's the kind of the fallout. And this is really a great way to wrap this up. Like, Necro becomes a guy that people want to call their shot against because of this match. Mm-hmm. Necro gets like, it's, you know, it's weird for me saying this, but this is okay. Maybe not so weird, but this is very much a PCO situation where something happens and all of a sudden, like, you know, PCO Walter happens and everybody's like, okay, I have to work him. I have to work PCO. Necro has this match with Joe. Everybody wants to work Necro.
I mean, everybody. And look at the list of guys Butcher works the last 6-7 years of his career. Like, it's a who's who of, like, wrestling.
Yeah. His cage match is, it's ridiculous. Yeah.
I don't even know if a match like this could happen, because I don't know if there's two guys that are available that could bring the aura of this match. Like, a true dream match in 2018 and, like, this, like, I mean, it'd have to be, like, I don't even know, because I feel like even... Like, as much as I love Nick Gage, I don't think Nick Gage has the same aura as Necro Butcher. He definitely has one. Don't get me wrong, but
I saw him live last month.
He definitely has one. I just don't know if he has a. And it's a total unfair comparison because Butcher's a total legend, but I don't think he has like the Butcher aura. Or the Joe aura. I don't know. I don't think any wrestler, especially on the indies, has that. So I don't even know if that could happen nowadays.
And the other thing that, you know, and we'll end on this, but the other thing too is that the timing of this match really couldn't have been any better. This was just before YouTube. This was still kind of the P2P, LimeWire, Kazaa, end of, you know, that type of time frame before you're able to put more videos out there. This was still very much a DVD buying sect of wrestling fans. And this becomes like perhaps the most sought after match until 4 months later when Kobashi faces Joe. It's like that also is a big reason why this match, I think, is remembered the way it is, because really at the time, it was the definition of a must-see
show. Man, if only we got Kobashi versus Butcher.
Jesus freaking Christ. Could you imagine that? I mean, Kobashi, remember, Kobashi didn't even think that people were really
I know, Kobashi wanted to work heel against Joe.
Which is just like, no, I'm the foreigner. I got to work heel. And Joe's like, no, 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 no. You're the face here. Trust me. And then he literally, and then Kobashi walks on stage and you almost see him cry because he
literally worshiped like a god.
But yeah, like this time frame is unique in that it's really just before YouTube, still a very much not tape trading, but DVD buying, focus fan. And, it was a match everybody had to see. And that alone is just enough for it to kind of have the legend it's had. And it's going to continue to be that way.
Absolutely. Too. I was telling Tim before we started the podcast, I legitimately watch this match probably once every 2 or 3 weeks. Like just because I mean, it's available for free. It's on it's on YouTube from the IWA Mid-South YouTube channel. Like it's legally available for free. This might sound hyperbolic, but one of the greatest matches of all time is just sitting on YouTube for free for your viewing pleasure at any time. Like I take advantage of that quite often.
So yeah, like go watch this. It's on the IWA Mid-South YouTube and definitely watch all 30 minutes of it because the replays, my God, the replays.
Yeah.
Oh God, just watch the replays. They're insane. Really are insane. Alternate camera angles, no audio. So you hear just the sounds. You just hear, oh God. Yeah. Head smacking concrete. It's great.
Oh man. A sound you'll never forget.
Never forget, man. So yeah, I figured we might go over 30 minutes on this and boy did we, but it's worth it. So go check this out. Man, Tanner, where can people find you on the internet? Well,
you can find me on Twitter at Tanner1495. I also co-host another podcast with my friends called the All You Can Hear podcast. We talk about everything available on iTunes, Google Play Music, Overcast, SoundCloud, all that good stuff. Just search All You Can Hear, and you can follow us on Twitter at AYCH Podcast.
And you can follow me at Mr. Tim Livingston on Twitter. Also follow at PPW Petaluma. You can see that on the YouTubes as well. Go to PPW Petaluma in the search bar and you'll see all our shows for the last 3.5 years. And yeah, you know, it's pretty cool to be doing this now on the Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. And go to ProWrestlingOnly.com, click on the podcast tab, and you'll be able to see all our episodes up there. Along with all the other podcasts that were being offered on this great website of ours. So subscribe if you haven't already to the feed. You probably have already, but also go online, check out the website. We not only have the podcast, we have some great match reviews and stuff like that coming your way. So, man, boy, I'm so glad we did this. We've done this almost 6 months now, which is insane to think about. Holy criminy. And man, like, to do a match like Neko Butcher and Samoa Joe. I have no idea where we go from here, but we're going to have to figure something out and next week. But
we're talking about this match again.
Yes, correct. By the way, there is a rematch, not as good as this one, but it is still good. You can also check that out too. So, we'll have to figure out something. I don't know how we top this next week, but we'll figure it out, and we hope you guys enjoy it here. So thanks for listening to the Match of the Week podcast here, and we'll see you next time.
Toodles.